I want to preach today from Acts chapter 20. I want to preach today a message entitled Living from Joy to Joy. On Wednesday night, I preached just for a few minutes about joy. I want to pick that same thought up today in our message this morning about the Christian life and having a life of joy. Look with me at Acts 20. Let's all stand together for the reading of God's Word. We begin at verse number 17. I want to read down to verse number 28. As we read, pay attention to verse number 24. That'll be our text verse. I'll begin on the first, and then you guys read responsibly with me. Responsibly with me, and responsible too, on the next verse. All right? It says, "Then from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. When they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after that manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the laying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound, spirit, unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." I want to, this morning, for a little short time, I want to zero in on that phrase, that verse, verse number 24, so that I might finish my course with joy. And today I want to preach on living from joy to joy. Father, we come to you now this morning. Thank you, Father, for our time together with the singing and the music, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing that's been. Lord, I do pray that you'd give our church a spirit of revival. Yes. Lord, that we'd see people on a continual basis saved and lives changed. Christians, Father, plugged in, Lord, and excited and zealous about serving you. Lord, be with our families that are here this morning. I ask God that you would speak to them, Lord, through your word. Lord, we all come today with needs and burdens and cares. And Holy Spirit of God, you know those needs. You know what we need, Father. And I pray this morning for your great help. For without you, we can do nothing. Save those that need to be saved. Be with Christians, Father, this morning. I pray in your name. Amen. You may be seated. I believe, as you read the Bible and you go through the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, the Christian life is to be a life filled with joy. Joy is not like happiness. There's a difference there. But by and large, the Christian life is to be filled with joy. Romans 14:17, the Bible says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." So we find that the kingdom of God, the God living in you, is not about what you eat and drink.
That's right.
It's not about prosperity in this world, but he says that when God lives within you, that in you there's righteousness and there's peace, there's joy in the Holy Ghost. We find in the book of Galatians 5:22-23 about the fruit of the Spirit. When a believer walks in the Spirit of God, that the result of that is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The Christian life is not merely an outward appearance. It's not simply what goes on the outside of our life, but it's an inward condition of the heart. When you get born again, there's an inward condition that takes place of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And there is a law and standard about eating and drinking, but there is no law or standard about loving or having joy or peace or long suffering. A person can be called a drunkard if they were to become an alcoholic. There's a law against that. A person can become a glutton if they ate too much. There's a law against that. But the Bible says there is a law against having too much love in your life. God will never say to the believer, wait a minute, you're loving way too much. There's never a time in the Christian life when God says, wait a minute, there's too much joy in your heart.
Amen.
So there is no law against these things, and I believe that the Christian life is a life to be filled with joy. Here's our mistake. We pursue happiness in hopes of achieving joy. You know, our Declaration of Independence, I believe our founding forefathers had more of a thought of joy than in happiness, but they use the word happiness. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. I wish they were to breathe that phrase again. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish or to institute new government.
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. I really believe the founding forefathers, if we were to look at those words today and where we are at in the scripture, they would probably line up more joy than happiness. Here's our problem as men and Americans. We want happiness without being governed by God in hopes of achieving joy. There can be no joy. If your focus is, I want to be happy, and I want to pursue happiness, that's my right as an American to pursue happiness. Don't put God on me.
Come on now.
You're never going to find joy. In fact, here's how America is doing. Happiness is an emotion that is felt when desires are gratified. So joy is an inward condition of the heart. Happiness is simply the emotion that you receive when you've been gratified physically of something. Nothing wrong with happiness when it's governed by God. Nothing wrong with happiness. Yesterday we went and had fried chicken. It made me happy. Nothing wrong with that. But when it's governed by God. But man has said we want happiness without God. And so here's how America is doing in the pursuit of happiness. Suicide in America is a 10th leading cause of death. Among all the things that's wrong with Americans, the 10th leading cause of death is suicide. Last year, 47,000 people succeeded in committing suicide. Here's the catch. 1.4 million people attempted suicide. Think about that. 1.4 million people attempted suicide last year in the pursuit of happiness. America is so happy that we slaughtered 700,000 babies last year. We're so happy that the divorce rate is still at 50%. 15 million Americans struggle with alcohol addiction. 30% of all fatal accidents are alcohol-related. Last year, 4,700 teens died due to alcohol poisoning. 88,000 adults died last year due to alcohol. $200 billion are spent every year, $200 billion every year because of drunk driving. 20 million Americans struggle with drug addiction. Last year alone, 70,000 died due to overdoses. Here's how happy we are. 17.3 million Americans, adult Americans, are depressed, labeled as depressed. Listen to this. 2 million children from the ages of 3 to 17 have been diagnosed with depression. The pursuit of happiness isn't working by itself. We find in the scripture today, we find a few things where joy is not found. You can find happiness, but happiness is temporary. Happiness alone by itself, though, is fleshly. Because all doesn't gratify the flesh. So look with me where happiness is not found. Look at verses number 22 and 23. And now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things which shall befall me there. Say that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying, the bonds and the afflictions abide me. Now, let me back up a little bit, give you a little bit of an introduction here. I apologize for kind of leaving you in the dark here. Paul's desire for a long time has been to go to Rome. He wants to go to Rome because he hears of the church that started there. He hears of their growth, and he wants to have some fruit there among the Jews and the Gentiles. And so he's longing to go to Rome, and he's wanting to be there. And so this is all set up the stage to go to Rome. And now he's getting ready to leave Ephesus, and he's going to go to Jerusalem to observe the Passover there. And he's been warned by many elders, Paul, the Jews of Jerusalem hate you. Don't go to the Passover. If you go to the Passover, if you go to Pentecost, if you go there, Paul, they're going to put you in prison and ship you off to Rome. Bad things are going to happen to you there. And Paul's like, I'm going to go. And so he's determined to go. And we find here that he realized, and he said, listen, if I go to Jerusalem, I know that bonds and afflictions await me. Here's my first thought. Joy is not found in ideal circumstances. You see, his thought was, verse 24, I want to finish my course with joy. And so joy cannot be found in ideal. We're all looking for that. We don't want the ideal circumstance. I want the ideal life. You know, the nice country home with a white picket fence, a dog and a cat and four kids, you know. And our kids are perfect, by the way. And they're healthy. And there's always more money than there is month. And we got a great 401k plan. We got a great retirement plan. We got a new truck and a car in the driveway. And somewhere on a marina somewhere is a boat waiting for you to fish off of. The American dream. Ideal circumstances. You can be happy there, but you might not find joy there. Paul says, I want to finish my course with joy. And it's not always found in ideal circumstances. It may be I get to Jerusalem. It may be that bonds and afflictions await me. Verse number 24, we find that joy is not found in the world revolving around you. He said in verse number 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Happiness, if you think about it, happiness is somewhat selfish at times. Because happiness is you being gratified. Happiness is you being satisfied in your life. This has made me happy. Last night, fried chicken made me happy. I think it did for her. It made me happy, okay? What do you want? Okay, you know. We're at a buffet, find what you want. I want fried chicken. And so happiness is selfish, can be selfish. And so this idea that my life is all about me, you might find at times happiness, but you won't find joy. Joy is not found in the possessions. Look at verse number 33, as Paul speaks to those at Ephesus, he says this, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities to them that were with, and to them that were with me. Paul said, I'm not in this for the money. I'm not going to find joy there. I want to finish my course with joy, but I coveted no man's silver, no man's gold, but the things that I needed, I worked for, and I provided for those that were with me. And so you can have possessions, but not any joy. Well, the Lord has allowed me over the years to sometimes bump shoulders with rich people. Not very many lately, unfortunately. But over the years, I've been able to bump shoulders with some folks with a lot of possessions. You know what? They didn't have any more joy than I did. In fact, they had less. You know, I've been able to go into people's houses like, wow, look at this place. It's amazing. And you look at their, you know, then you go back to the guy's machine shed, which is bigger than their house. He's got everything, every tool you can imagine. He's got there, every toy. He's got it. And he'll say, preacher, my marriage is a mess. Listen, possessions don't make a person, they might make you happy for every now and then, but they won't give you joy. Joy is not found in getting all you can get for you. Verse 35 says, I have showed you all things, how that so labor and you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, it's amazing how many Christians really wash their faces throughout the services, throughout the week. A lot of Christians live their Christian life miserable. No, I'm going to be honest. I understand trials and hardships. I don't understand living miserable. By the way, if you live miserable, don't blame anybody else but where you, but you. You've chosen to live miserable. Yeah, I know. Preacher, I'm just angry. That's because you chose to live angry. I can have no joy because I'm always, you chose that. Well, preacher, you don't, you can choose in your circumstances, in your financial situation, in your ailments, in your health issues, you can choose to have Christian joy. Because it's a condition of the heart with Christ Jesus, not the happiness of the flesh. And I think so many times Christians today, that we simply live, make the flesh happy, and think that somehow if our flesh is happy, that somehow we must be spiritual. And the two aren't related at all. And so we find this morning that Paul said, listen, it's better to give than to receive. That's what he's saying here. The Lord Jesus Christ, he quoted Jesus Christ. And so finding joy is not all about getting what you can get for you. Listen, by the way, you know what? I think that we ought to come to church expecting things from God. But you ought not use Christianity to get what you can get for you. But we have this idea that somehow, boy, if I go to church and if I do certain things, God's going to give me what I want. You can't put God over a barrel. I'm going to put God in the corner now, and God, you said if I do this, that you can't put God in a box and say if you do X, Y, Z, that God now has to give every whim and whimper that you want. He's not Santa Claus. He's not Walmart. He's not the Five and Dime store. So this question that I have this morning is Paul said, I want to finish my course with joy. And we all, most of you know what Paul went through in his life. He didn't have an easy life. In fact, when he finished his course, according to 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, when he finished his course, it wasn't like he just, now lay me down to sleep. He didn't pass away peacefully. They took his head off. All right? But he said, I want to finish my course with joy, and I believe that he did, according to the scripture. So how do you do that? Let me give you today, there's three simple thoughts, and I'll do the best I can. The Christian life is important to start. Right? You all believe that? If you don't start the Christian life, you're looking at eternity of hell. The Christian life is important to start, but this isn't important to start, it is important to finish. And the Christian life shouldn't be, well, but preacher, yeah, I'll finish, but I'm just going to get by. I'm going to finish, preacher, but I'm just going to endure. I'm going to finish, preacher, but you know, this lecture, it's just a drudge to serve God. You're the wrong Christian life. Paul said, I want to finish my responsibility. I want to finish my course. I want to finish serving God. I want to see Him face to face. But when I do, I want to do it with joy in my life. The Christian life is meant to be a life of joy. So how do you do that? Number one. Leave the selfishness for the living sacrifice. Leave the selfishness for the living sacrifice. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, I'm going to jump ahead of this a little bit here, and I'll come back in a moment. Paul had gotten his course, his will from God. And so he wants to live that course. He wants to finish that course. And so to do that, you must leave the selfish life and live the sacrifice life. And the Bible says, I beseech you, I beg you, I exhort you, brother, become that living sacrifice. Notice Paul's testimony, verse number 17. Let's jump down to verse number 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying away to the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul left the selfish life for living sacrifice. We see his testimony here. Here is a believer filled with joy. Notice his testimony. He said, listen, verse 18, I have been with you at all seasons. What is Paul saying? A living sacrifice is at God's disposal at all times. Paul said, at all seasons I've been with you. I've been with you in the good times and the bad times, in all seasons. I've been at God's disposal. Whatever He wants, I am. And that's where you're going to find that living sacrifice. It's not living for self, but saying, God, where you have me to go, I'll go. God, I'm at your disposal at all seasons. Come rain, like the mailman. Come rain or shine, God, I'll do your will. So Paul said, I've been disposed at all seasons. Paul said, with all humility, verse 19, he says, with all humility. A living sacrifice has no pride. You see, pride and happiness don't go together. They're selfish. It's all about you and all about me. And we leave God out of it. And Paul now, he wants to finish his course with joy. How does he do that? He leaves the selfish life for the living sacrifice. He says, I've been at God's disposal at all times. I've had humility. I've pushed away pride. Verse number 19 also said he's been with many tears. Paul invested himself in the ministry. You know, it's gotten to a place in our Christian life where it's easy for us to sometimes invest some time. It's easy for us to put a few dollars on a plate on Sunday morning, whether it be for offerings or missions. We see it's more than that. The Christian life that has joy, not just invest time and a few dollars, but invest yourself. Why, what would make Paul weep for the believers and weep for the Christian and weep for the unbeliever? He invested himself. He invested he became the living sacrifice that invested self. Psalms 126:5 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And Paul's goal was, his desire was to finish his course with joy. He left the selfish for the living sacrifice. He says, I've been at God's disposal at all times, at all seasons. God has had me. There's no pride in my life. I've been with all humility. With tears I've served God. He invested himself. Hey, invest yourself in the things of God. Don't just say, God, here's my money and here's my time. But invest you, yourself, in the things of God. He also, verse number 20 says that he faced many temptations. A living sacrifice not only is at God's disposal at all times, and not only does they have no pride and they invest themselves, but they also endure. Happiness is temporary, but joy can be eternal. Happiness is only when you get what you want, but joy is there even in the temptations. And so you have to endure temptation, not yield to temptation, but endure temptation. Paul had to realize, if I yield to temptation, I might be happy, but I'll lose my joy. He didn't trade one for the other. We find that not only verse number 20 says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. A living sacrifice gives what it has received. Verse number 24, watch this. I want to show you something. Look at verse number 24 and grab with me 1 Corinthians 15. Look at Acts 20, verse number 24. It says, but none of these things move me. The bonds and afflictions that they said, well, Paul, if you go to Jerusalem, these are waiting for you. And Paul said, they don't move me. They don't detour my service for God. Watch verse number 24. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have what? Received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 3. Kind of get into the middle of the text here, but I just want you to see this verse. 1 Corinthians 15, 3, Paul says this, for I delivered unto you first of all that I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Here's what Paul, as he got saved, here's what I believe that Paul, in a kind of a nutshell, if I can just summarize it up. God was going to use Paul, but Paul had to be willing and yield. And so Paul received from God his course, the ministry, the gospel. Here's what happiness does. That's mine. Happiness says, that's mine. You want to see kids that are happy? Let them open presents at Christmas time. Let there be toys there. And have three or four kids with them. And they'll say, this is mine. That's mine. Everything. I mean, the paper, the tape, the paper, the bows, the box, the toys, everything. That's mine. You touch it, even the paper that's been torn up, touch that. That's mine. Gives them happiness. Hey, you want to see happiness? Go with the Baptist preacher out to a buffet. That's mine. That's happiness. You know what joy is? I'm going to give what I've received. I'm going to give what I've received. Paul said, I received the gospel from Christ Jesus, and you in Ephesians, you elders, you know this. I've held nothing back from you that's profitable for you. But that what I have received, that's what I've given. You know why some Christians today are unhappy? Because all they are is takers. Oh, that made me happy. Oh, I'm really happy. You know, that only lasts for so long. You know what makes a Christian have joy? It's so when they get from God and they get from God, then they give it out. And that's why it's important to be a Christian that reads the Bible and prays every day to get from God and get from God and get from God so you can give out. And that's why it's important for you to go knock on doors and pass out tracts because you have received the gospel. You didn't take it, you received it. You didn't order it, you didn't make it, you received it. Now God wants you to give it out. There's great joy when a person takes what you've given them and said, I want to believe too. That's why it's important for you to arrange your budget. Listen to me now, look up here. It's arrange your budget. Because because the money you make, you've received that. You've received that. Well, but I worked hard and I went to college and I this is what I do. Who gave you the ability? Hey, you could have been born handicapped. With no mind to work and no mind to think. And living off of welfare. In some group home somewhere. By the way, those folks are just as important as you and I are. But God gave you the ability, and I think that everybody should have in their budgets to somehow give back what they've received. You know, all these American dreams, yeah, they'll make you happy. I'll be honest, I'm getting closing on 50. That's not old, but I feel like it's old. Because of the things I haven't done yet in my life. So now I got this wild hair. I want a boat. It could be midlife. It's been for like the last 15 years, this midlife crisis thing. I mean, everything I see, I want has a motorcycle. Oh, that'd be fun. A boat. Whoopee, you know. A yacht. I don't know if I want a yacht. But a boat would be neat. I think a boat would be cool, man. To go down to Mississippi and catch some fish, you know. I think it'd be fun. That might make me happy, but that doesn't guarantee me joy. And see, Paul said, listen, he goes, I've held nothing back. Why did Paul have joy? Because he was a living sacrifice. Number two is this. Forsake self-will for the Savior's will. Forsake self-will for the belief for the Savior's will. We read in verse 24 that Paul said, I might finish my course. My course. Where did Paul get that? From God. He said, not my will be done, but thy will be done. Let me show you a couple of verses here. Look at Romans 15 and Hebrews 12. Romans chapter 15. Look at verse number 30. Now I beseech you, are you there? Romans 15:30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God. Look at the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2. Hebrews 12:2. Watch the scripture again. Watch for the word joy. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here we find some similar Paul and Jesus Christ's testimony. Where did Paul get his joy from? Doing the will of God. He said, listen, Paul many times would want to venture somewhere and God would say, nope, don't go there. Paul, his desire was, he wanted to go to the east. Husband says, no, I don't want you to go east, I want you to go west. Alright, that's where I'll go. And so Paul received his joy not from self-will, but from the Savior's will. How many times did Jesus Christ went to the cross, but his prayer was, Father, I've come to do your will, your work, and Father, your will be done in my life. And so he endured the cross, but had joy in doing so. So we find that Paul's race, his course wasn't chosen by Paul. Paul's course was revealed by God and received by Paul. Christ came to do the Father's will. The believer filled with joy doesn't reveal his will to God and ask God to receive it. He asks God, what's your will from my life? And then he receives it from God. Here's where we mess up as Christians. We want to reveal to God our will. Say, God, now you receive it. Bless it. By the way, that's happiness. Joy is when you say, God, what's my course from my life? Now, today's world, preachers use the word your destiny. That's like a little code word for new age stuff. I like to use the word, biblical words, God's will. Your course, your race. God's got a course for your life, a race for your life, a will for your life. And joy is found when you say, God, what's your will for my life? Listen, my will, God's will for my life is not the same as for your life. And so the joyful Christian says, all right, God, I'm going to trade self-will for the Savior's will. God, what would you have me to do? Not my will be done, but thy will be done. And so we find that the man living in happiness lives for self. Does what they want to do, and no thought what God had for their life. We use Christ for what we can get out of Christ and for ourselves, but not for what Christ can do for us and through us for His glory. So how do I finish this Christian life with joy? Forsake self-will for the Savior's will. Oh, young folks, if I could somehow help encourage you to get the hold of God and say, God, what's your will for my life? And live that will. Will there be hardships? Yes, there'll be hardships, but there'll be joy. Will there be difficulties? Yes, there'll be difficulties, but there'll be joy. And so we find that Paul, he said, I want to finish my course with joy. And I thought to myself as I read that scripture, me too, God. Lord, this thing about being a pastor and about being a husband and a father, this is not temporary, this is lifelong. And I want to finish with, not drudgery, like, oh boy, finally. You know, years ago, I used to, as a farmhand. A couple years in a row, I detasseled corn. I hated it.
Yeah.
I didn't mind baling hay. I didn't mind walking beans. I didn't mind, taking care of cattle. I didn't mind a lot of things. I didn't mind. I used to love driving tractor. That was the best part. Driving tractor. I'll drive. But when you're 14 years old, you don't get picked to drive the tractor very often. Then if you do get phone driving, you get yelled at. Get off that thing, go pitch some manure. But one year I decided I'm going to detassel corn. That gave me the dumbest job ever devised by man. To torture teenagers. You know, so here I am. You know, I'm just, getting naive young guy. And we got there early in the morning. You know, I got my blue jeans on and my t-shirt. And I'm ready to go detassel corn. And a bunch of guys took their shirts off. So I thought, you know what, I've got muscles too. You know, that was back in the day before I had a keg. And so I took my shirt off, here. That's dumb to do that in cornfield, too, take your shirt off. Oh, man, I'll tell you something. And when I got done, it didn't matter how much they paid me, I was glad to be done. Now, I didn't learn the first year. I did it again the second year. The second year, I was a little older, and I thought to myself, I will never do this again. And guess what? I haven't. No remorse, no regret. No looking back. I will not go back. I decide I'm never do it again. I'll never detassel. Listen, Devin, you want to detassel corn? I will help you get the job. But I'm not helping you detassel corn. This is one of those jobs you're like, I endured it. I don't want that to be the Christian life. I want to finish with joy. Listen, I've been married almost 30 years, and we hopefully till death do us part. But I don't want it to be a drudgery. Oh, there she is again. Hope you don't say anything. I want to say there's a joy there. Some of you know, you're laughing, you know where I'm at. You're like, yeah, don't. He's like, move on, preacher. Don't get me in trouble here. So you must forsake your self-will for the Savior's will. Number three, and lastly, and I'll be brief here. Trade the sinful life for the sanctified life. Trade the sinful life for the sanctified life. Let me show you a couple of scriptures here. They're a little bit lengthy, but I want you to see these. I think it's important for you to read them with me. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Then we're going to go to Colossians, just one book over in a second here. But look at Philippians chapter 2. How do you finish your course with joy? Trade the sinful life for the sanctified life. Philippians 2, look at verse number 12 with me. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence. Watch this. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, God's not saying work for salvation. He's just saying, now you've been saved, let it come out of you. For it is, now watch this, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Amen.
Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. See that word rejoice? That means having joy over and over and over and over again. They have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice of in service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Here Paul describes a sanctified life. He said, all right, you've been saved. Now let it work out. Let it come out of you. And he said, listen, if you just surrender your will to God, he will fix your willer and your doer. See that verse number 13? For it is God which worketh in you both to will to do of his good pleasure. So when you get sanctified in Christ Jesus, God will fix your willer and your doer. What does that mean? That means you're not going to want to live the sinful life. He's changed your will. I don't want to live in fornication. I don't want to live in adultery. I don't want to live in misery. I don't want to live an addict. I don't want to live, I don't will that. I will the things of God. I want to trade the sinful life for a sanctified life. I want to will and do what God had me to do. Look at the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse number 9. And by the way, Paul said that when you do that, there's joy in that life. For this cause, Colossians 1, 9 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. There, once again, he described the sanctified life. He said, listen, we're praying for you that you might increase in knowledge and wisdom, and that you might walk worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there might be fruit in your life in every work, that he'll strengthen you with all might and with his might and glorious power, and that in your life there'll be patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. You see, sin destroys and robs you of your joy. David, the great King David, in the heat of the moment, the weakness of his heart, he sinned against God, committed adultery. Then from there he committed murder. And as when he was found out, the preacher came by, Nathan came by and said, thou art the man. And God began to chasten David. David said in his prayer, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. He didn't say, save me again, God. Save me over again. He said, God, I've lost my joy. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. You see, the sinful life will rob you of your joy. But all being sanctified Serving God and living for God and doing the will of God. Let God work in you and through you and sanctify. Well, that's a fancy word for saying my life is belongs to God. Sanctified is simply means you're separated. God is, when you get saved, He sanctified you. He made you His own. You belong to Him now. However, He said, all right, now that you belong to me, I want you to act like it. When our boys were a little younger, I would say, when they would go do something, I would say, okay, when you leave, remember who you are. You're a mask. Act like it. I'm like, whoa, what is that? Like, we can do anything that we want, then, can't we, Dad? No. Be like your mom. Okay. Be like your mom. God said this one. God said, when you got saved, I separated you to myself. You belong to me. Now let me work in your life that way you may live and act like it. Now watch this. I want to say this. Joy does not make you sanctified. Being sanctified gives you joy. That's important. Listen, the sinful life robs you of your joy. It'll give you happiness for a season. There is pleasures of sin for a season. Listen, if sin wasn't fun, there'd be no temptation. Why is a buffet so tempting? Because it's fun. Amen? Hey, listen, let's be honest. Why is adultery so tempting? It appears to be fun. Why do so many folks commit fornication? The appearance is, this is fun. There's pleasure there. There'd be no pleasure. You know, I have no temptation to eat Brussels sprouts. I don't find them fun. Not at all. Now, I will because they're healthy. But there's no fun in Brussels sprouts. I'm not tempted to eat tassel corn ever. There's no fun there. But I want to buy a boat. It appears to be fun. And so here, joy doesn't make you sanctified, but being sanctified gives you joy. Because you begin to live for God, and you begin to work out the salvation that's in you begins to come out. Listen, here's a verse. I hope this is making sense. Some of you look at me like somehow I'm not getting it through. It's not your fault. It's my fault. But listen to this verse. I like this verse. Acts 2:28. It's actually a quote from the book of Psalms. Thou hast made known to me thy ways, the ways of life. Watch this. Now listen. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Here's a psalmist praying to God. God, you've made me know the ways of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Simply listen, Christians this morning, simply being in God's presence, sanctified, separated, will give you joy. Just His presence alone. Think about that for a second. Oftentimes we think about God's presence as being one of fear. That's there. And conviction, and that's there. And humbleness, and that's there. But the psalmist says, listen, God, in your presence, just your countenance, your face, your spirit, your countenance makes me full of joy. That's the sanctified life this morning. The joy of the Lord. Amen. Now, what do I mean from living from joy to joy? This life as a Christian, I believe, should be a life of joy. Today, if you have no joy, don't blame it on long services. Preach, if you would preach shorter and more distinctly, I would have joy. I'm trying the best I can. Listen, when I'm in my office, these messages sound fantastic. It sounds better than John Jenkins on a Sunday morning. Up in here, you know. And sometimes I think they really rock the crowd. It does rock you right to sleep. But long services, listen, this morning, God wants your life as a Christian to be a life of joy. So that one day you might hear also the words, well done. Like what a faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, thou make thee faithful over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. The Christian life should be joy to joy. There should be a little bit of heaven here on earth. You know, here's the problem we think. Well, preacher, this is my hell. Right here, this is my hell. I've got to go through this. Is my hell. We have this life. Now listen, there is some truth to that. This is the worst hell you're ever going to see. But rather than saying, this is my hell, God, this is my hell I have to live in. This shouldn't be a piece of heaven, shouldn't it be? a taste of heaven. And this is pre-heaven, before heaven. And that the Christian life is to be a life of joy and happy and joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness and all those great things that can be joy, not a drudgery. So when we close our eyes, we go from one joy to a perfect joy. Where does it begin? I believe it begins when you leave the selfishness for the living sacrifice. It begins when you forsake the self-will for the Savior's will. It begins when you trade the sinful life for the sanctified life. You can go from joy to joy. With Christ, you may start with joy, live with joy, finish with joy, and enter into the presence of joy. So there's, this morning, a message. How to live from joy to joy. If I asked a question this morning, I know you've been with me a long time, and thank you for your patience. How's your joy this morning? I'm just wondering, how's your happiness? That really has no bearing upon life. How's your happiness? Happiness is a fickle gauge. It's constantly going up and down. You know, I can be happy. Here's how fickle I can be. I can be happy at 11:30 and discouraged at 12:30, which I probably will be today. It's easy. Our emotions, our happiness, you go, oh, but you know what? I have joy. I got joy. I got joy this morning, you being here. I got joy watching you smile. I got joy seeing you fall asleep. I got joy seeing you say amen. I got joy seeing you being anxious and watching your clock. You can have joy in all those things because joy is a kiss of the heart of what Christ has done, not what the world has done. And so this morning, I hope that's been helped to you this morning. This, by the way, if you're not even born again, you can't even begin to have any joy. Anything you have outside of being born again is simply flesh. It's simply happiness that won't last forever. Right. By the way, that joy, that happiness will turn to misery when you wake up in hell one day. I want to encourage you today, if you've not been saved, to get saved this morning. Let's stand together. We'll